Good day. What a wonderful opportunity to be with you today. Have you ever imagined that feeling of doing something for the first time? What it feels like, what the moment feels like when you just walk over the threshold of trying something new or experiencing something new or being in a new place and you're absorbing all of those experiences that you are going through. You know what? We are beginning a new sermon series. And in the sermon series, we walk into the book of Acts and we pick up some of the very first things the church did as it began its journey. We are today going to think especially about the first sermon that was preached in the book of Acts by Peter. And we are going to reflect on that wonderful moment of how Peter stood in front of that crowd and started preaching. If you remember last week, we reflected on the chaos and order of Pentecost, how the Pentecost moment of the coming of the Spirit was such an important moment of the church. And then as people were trying to wonder, what does it mean to see the tongues and the flames of fire coming upon people? Then Peter, for the first time, you remember Peter, the one that spoke out of 10, the one that said that wanted to chop somebody's ear, the one that was just such an erratic character. But for this day, when the Spirit had fell upon all of them as the disciples, Peter stood up and preached the very first sermon for his life and the first sermon that has shaped the book of Acts and what the church thinks about what it means to follow the Jesus that has risen and ascended and has poured God's Spirit upon the people. So this is part of what Peter said on that sermon. And this forms our reading for today. And it's found in the book of Acts chapter 2. And we read these selected verses. Listen to some of these words. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you may suppose. It is only 9 in the morning. Fellow Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man incredibly gifted by God. And he did wonders and miracles and signs which God did among you through him. As you yourself know, this man was handed over to you by God, God's deliberate plan, and with the help of the wicked man, put him to death by nailing him on the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. This is just an excerpt of the bigger story in the book of Acts chapter 2 that tells the story of how Peter spoke in that very first sermon. I like stories as a person. I like the fact that when you tell stories, they evoke something deep and profound and something that makes you connect with something bigger than just the individual. As a pastor, I've marveled at how people tell stories and how the stories they tell connect with something bigger, their own life story, the stories of the people around them, the stories of the time they found themselves in, the stories and the sequence of the events of their lives that they find themselves in. So today I want to speak about three things, and I want to speak about three invitations. I want to invite you into God's story. I want to invite you to think about our own story, and I'll invite you to think about living into that story. So let's start with the first one. And I illustrate this from the Acts 2, verse 22. It is an invitation to God's story. When we think of Peter's sermon, one of the very first signs of Peter's sermon is that he takes the story of who Jesus is and speaks to a Jewish community and invites the community to take Jesus and see Jesus as part of God's deeper revelation across time and across history. He invites them to go into the Old Testament to see the emergence and the coming of Jesus as part of the bigger story of God's revelation to the Jewish community. You remember that the Old Testament is shaped by a number of key moments. Just to illustrate this, the Old Testament is shaped around the creation moment when God at creation is the God that creates, that makes things come into being, that unfurls everything and sees what God has created, and God is excited about the creation. So God has created us in God's creative image. So when Peter speaks to Israel, Israel understands that when Peter speaks to that, he's inviting them back to go into the Jewish scriptures and remember that Israel was created by God and purposed by God and drawn by God into God's story. Second part of the Old Testament story is how you see the unfolding nature from creation into the movement into Exodus, into the movement of the prophets. And in this one sermon that Peter preaches, you realize that he invokes the prophets, he invokes the Psalms, he invokes the bigger canvas of the Old Testament story. What does this mean? It means that God in Jesus is absorbing the whole story of who God is and taking it into himself and becoming part of that new Israel, part of the story of who Israel is. But it also means that if you think of history and life and everything about ourselves, yourself, is that we are all wrapped in God's story. We are part of what God is unfurling as God's creative purpose, as God's purpose for life. In the heart of the Old Testament, there is a God that never lets go. There's people that sin, they wander off to exile, they wander off through to Egypt, they wander off into so many places. There are prophets that invite them back into the presence of God, but there is an insistent God throughout the Old Testament that says, I will never let you go. If you forget anything about what the Old Testament God is about, just remember this, the God that is set to be with us and with you. Can you think of it for yourself? That God never lets go, will never let go, that you are always wrapped in God's story, your history, your family story, your personal story. When you take it, it rises and it becomes part of God's bigger story. And somehow that is the depth of the story. Just recently, I sat with somebody in a pastoral moment, and they were dealing with a very difficult moment in their lives. And as they started talking to the pain of their own story, they told how hard the story they were going through is. And as they told that story, they slowly started moving from that story and started saying, but I understand my story is not just mine. There's also my brother. There's also my aunt. But thank God that we are Christians and we feel like God has been walking with us in our personal story. So each of us are wrapped up in this story. And Peter, as he starts preaching on that day, he invites us to contemplate that with Israel and with all human history, we are wrapped up in a story of a God that will never let us go, that will never lose us, and that will never say, you are not welcome in God's space. Think of this. God has a welcome for everyone. God embraces you with your life and your story. The second thing that comes out of this story for me is that our own story, our very story, is also a story that can be lived into God's story. As Peter was preaching that day, you remember that the response from the crowd, the scriptures say, there's the people heard these words, they were cut to heart. And to be cut to heart, it means that somehow, as they heard what Peter was saying, their story of who God is, the story of how God has lived with Israel, the story of Israel's sin and denial and God's embrace and forgiveness and renewal, as they heard that story, they figured out that we are also part of those people that sometimes deny God, that sometimes have lost our way. But as they heard this story, their hearts were cut and their hearts broke. The breaking of our heart, it is always means that it's that moment when our hearts are touched so deeply and we turn our lives towards God. So my second point is that it is an invitation that we allow God to touch our lives again and renew our lives. And as we hear the words of scripture and as we are beginning to be wrapped up in God's story, we allow our stories to be immersed in God's story and allow God to immerse God's self in our story. In the heart of scripture and who Jesus is, it is the fact that Jesus lives very powerful themes of scripture. Jesus is God incarnate, the incarnation of God. God's way of immersing God's self into human reality. And as God immerses God's self in the reality of the world, into the good about the world, into the ugly about the world, into the struggles of the world, as God immerses God's self into that, we live in the moment when Christ is not just a distant God. God is not just a pie in the sky, but God in Jesus incarnates, lives, dwells with us, becomes part of us. And as God is with us, he is one of us, he is fully human and becomes part of our journey. And as Jesus walks around in Palestine in that time, he walks around, he touches people, he heals people. So we realize in him that our story is immersed with God's presence, is touched by the power of God's love. And this God who immerses God's self with us is the God that says, I will never leave you, nor never forsake you. But in Jesus, we also touch the power of what our sin can do. That the sin that crucifies God on the cross, the power of our failure to love God and love each other, the brokenness of our relationships. And in Jesus, we realize that we have an opportunity of someone that invites us again, that through all that we can be, God in Jesus says, in my death, in the way I've lived with you, I'm showing you a way of being in relationship in a new way. And in his death, we realize that somehow the power of evil could destroy life. In his death, we realize that somehow the evil of the world has a possibility of killing. And so as we realize that, we are invited again to touch the power of God in the Jesus that is willing to die for our sin and rise from our sin. But the story of Jesus doesn't end with incarnation, the living and the healing and touching people, or the death. But the story of Jesus ends with his resurrection and ascension and the pouring of the power of the Spirit upon the church. That's what Peter invites the crowd to. Be baptized into the story of Jesus. Be baptized into the newness of life. And as you are baptized, you will find newness of what God is. The story of Jesus ends with the power of resurrection. What that means for me and you is that no situation is enough to end God's story with you. There is even beyond death the power of resurrection. There is no situation in your life or in the life of the world that's beyond God's redemption. There is no situation, even now, whatever you may be going through, whatever you may be experiencing, that experience you're going through is within God's reach. God says, it is part of my story. Jesus says, I am walking beside you. I am sitting with you. I am with you in the power of the Spirit to walk with you through your situation. Whatever it may be, God is with you in redeeming and restoring and even creating new possibilities. Resurrection means where you seems like there's an end, God has a new way, has a new life, and a new possibility. The last invitation is an invitation that when we understand that we live in the bigger canvas of God's story, when we understand that we live in the power of God's presence and we live with a Jesus that's near, a God that walks with us, a God that embodies us with God's Spirit, a God that immerses God's self within us, a God that sees the possibility of resurrection in every situation, the heart of who we are as the church, we are invited to be part of God's dream and living out the dream in the world. And in our lives, we live the dream by what the church over the ages has called living through the means of grace. And the means of grace is what is captured in the, at the end of Peter's sermon. As Peter finishes the sermon, then the response of the of that very first community that gathered there, the 3,000 people that were converted, the scriptures say they devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles, to the breaking of bread, to prayer, and they were filled with wonder and awe when signs were performed by all the apostles. What that means, my dear friends, is that we are also called, that when we understand that we are wrapped in God's story, this world is wrapped in God's story, Jesus is with us, we are also called to live out in these practices what it means to live out God's story. I often would illustrate it in this way, that for God's story to be complete, we each carry part of that puzzle. We each carry a piece of that puzzle. Our actions, our prayers, our devotion, our worship, our fellowship, our breaking of bread, it is putting together the kingdom of God. You and I are part of healing the world. You and I are part of the wonder of making the world become what God dreamed it to be. So you are invited to fit yourself into God's story and be part of how God is healing and restoring the world. As we gather, whether it's in a fellowship group or whether it's in a cell group meeting, whether it's gathering for worship, whether it's praising God in the car, whether it's going to work, whatever act of worship that you do, whatever act of sharing and being generous and hospitable, you are becoming and creating God's dream and making it real for the people around you in the world. Can you think of yourself that your life matters in God's future? Your life matters in God's dream for the world. Your acts, each and every one of them, matters in God's picture of the future. This church, your church, is part of God's dream. Your family is part of God's dream. Your business is part of God's dream. So as we think of all of these things, how do you take the puzzle piece that is your life, your gifts, your everything, and bring it into the presence of God and say, God, as you shape the story of the world, and as you shape the story of this church, as you shape the story of my life and my family, make me that person that contributes to the story of your presence and healing the world. Can you think of it? Three things this morning. God, the story of God embraces every part of creation, including your life. And you are invited to be part of that story. Your story, regardless of how small it may seem, is part of that gift. Secondly, in Jesus, God is fully immersed in this story of your life. and is walking with you in the power of the Spirit, making you bolder and making you stronger to achieve your goals and live for God. But God also has a call upon our lives to give ourselves to God's dream, so that the story of this world is transformed to look like what God has called us to be. Can you go into this week and use yourself and make your life become deeper and immerse it deeper into God's story and God's life? May God bless you and may God keep you. Amen. Let us pray. Loving and generous God, we thank you for the gift of your word. We thank you of that first sermon preached by Peter. We thank you for the invitations. There are many, but we thank you that you are a God who wraps us up in your story and you never let us go. May you wrap each and every person here that take their small story and their world and place them in the bigger canvas of your love and your grace and your peace. May you wrap everyone who is struggling with their lives and make them feel that there is a possibility of resurrection and newness and hope, regardless of their circumstances this time. And Lord, send us into the world to be for you bread to the hungry, food for the hungry, solace for the comfortless, peace for those that are without peace, and be a presence that heals and be a presence that restores. May your dream for our lives, for our church, and for our world come true in the power of your Spirit, in the name of the one that loves us even now, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Can I send you into the time ahead with a blessing? May God bless you. May God keep you. May God shine his face upon you. May God look at you with kindness. May God uplift you. May God make your feet strong on the ground. May God strengthen your heads, your hands. May God touch your heart with joy and peace. May God make you see the wonder of God's creation. And may God breathe a new spirit upon you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray this now and forevermore. Amen.